This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today.
You are being watched. The government has a secret system, a machine that spies on you every hour of every day. I designed the machine to detect acts of terror, but it sees everything. Violent crimes involving ordinary people. The government considers these people irrelevant. We don't. Hunted by the authorities. We work in secret. You'll never find us. But victim or perpetrator, if your number's up, we'll find you.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians, and what you just heard was the opening of Person of Interest, the TV show on CBS, and I felt it was fitting. So, Greg is not familiar with the show, neither is our guest host for this week, Gina Martinez, but it's a show about the government spying on you using cell phone technology, networked public cameras, and the internet. Sound familiar?
Yeah, it sounds like Dark Knight down at the bottom of Wayne Tower.
Yeah. Or the NSA building.
Oh.
Guess what we're going to be talking about this week?
Syria.
Syria. I was thinking maybe we could get into Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes, that'd be good.
Breaking news.
I don't know anything about Amanda Bynes.
Then you're in for a treat, because we know all about Amanda Bynes.
Joe Ruiz, our managing editor at WeAreLibertarians.com, he's obsessed with Amanda Bynes. It's all he ever talks about.
Mm-hmm. Much really? To the chagrin of his wife.
He is the TMZ of We Are Libertarians.
Okay.
So... Could you imagine waking up every day and saying, I'm so excited to go to work at TMZ? Like, you just would be so depressed with what your life has become. Like, on my Twitter feed today, TMZ had something about how Katie Holmes' knees look like a lady part. I was like, really? You're making fun of Katie Holmes' knee?
Right.
Jeez.
She had, like, knee surgery or something.
I'd kick her out of bed over those knees.
So
that's a deal breaker for me. Bad
right.
knees. I'm out of
bad knees. Cannot
Thank you, TMZ,
handle it.
TMZ from saving me that one.
All right. So let us introduce ourselves. We are libertarians. If you are new to the program, we generally pull out a news story or three, or we try to get to three of what's going on in the news that week, and we discuss what's going on from a libertarian perspective, and we also cover libertarian stuff. I am the guy who opens the shows and lands the show. I'm Chris Spangle. And right over there is the lovely Greg Lenz.
Hello, everyone.
Greg is our token Republican on the show, but I have a feeling that is quickly changing.
I'm not much of a Republican on many things.
Yeah. So actually, you and Creighton have flip-flopped a little bit.
Yeah. Now, foreign policy, I still trump Creighton.
Yeah,
I like to blow things up.
And then from the other end of the libertarian spectrum is our friend Gina Martinez. Gina, back for a second time. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Anything interesting happen this week?
Oh, my Lord. Yes. Goodness.
She's like the female James Neese.
Ouch. Ouch. Take it back.
So, oh, by the way, supposedly James Neese, James was like, bruh. I'm coming to the show tonight, bruh. I'm going to come in and I'm going to, like, kick it.
No, bruh.
All right. Yeah, we were actually supposed to talk about an unrelated project, and he said he'd show up tonight. So I told him 6:30. It's now 7:39, and James is nowhere to be found.
He'll be here at 9 o'clock.
So he'll be here right at 10 o'clock. He'll walk in with Samantha, my wife.
Yes.
Be like, what's up, Thug Life?
And so. Samantha will be ecstatic.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the James Neese episode. It's a treat. So, how are you doing, Gina?
You know, I'm good, all things considered. But yeah, I had a rough, bumpy week and a half. Took a quick vacation down to New Orleans to see a friend's new home that he had rented. And They stole my truck.
What do you mean by they?
Who do you mean they, Gina?
The people of New Orleans, the like the masked
Gina Martinez faceless. Does not care
New
about
New Orleans has it now.
Gina Martinez does not care about black people.
Yep.
Ouch.
Nice Kanye.
I don't know. I don't know the race of the person who stole my vehicle. All that I know is that it was taken and used to commit a home invasion burglary.
Mm-hmm.
The police have found it now. All I have to do is return to that infested squalor hellhole and pick it up. It's as though I have won the first ever round of Urban Survivor, and my prize is getting to return to the cesspool from which I came.
So this person who committed the home invasion, they weren't roughly 4'8".
Yeah.
With large John Lennon glasses and blonde hair.
I was safely tucked away in the state of Indiana, as I understand it. Actually, the person was caught in the act. Apparently, the burglar was upstairs when the homeowners came home. And the burglar escaped out the second story window, leaving my truck running in the middle of the road.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was interesting. Actually, speaking of that, did you guys see the story where the young lady in Edinburgh beat the man who she caught robbing her home last week?
No.
I did not. I like it.
Oh.
I like a woman who can beat up robbers.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I know
home...
I couldn't.
As I understand...
If someone broke in here, I'd throw mittens on them. Get them, mittens.
You're so mean to your pussy.
Well,
stop it.
Ouch.
This is already a filthy show and we're 5 minutes in.
Well, anyway, she came home. She caught the guy with her flat-screen television under his arm. He had stopped at the refrigerator to grab a Coke because apparently, you work up a thirst. And then she wailed on him. And then he ran to his truck and she pulled him out of the truck and she wailed on him some more.
Nice.
And then she followed him. Called the police, told him her coordinates, and the police were like, "Are you crazy?" And she was like, "What the hell? Come help me." It's interesting. They've got the whole video on the news link. Anyway, point I'm getting at is that's my little cousin, and I'm proud as hell
knew
of her.
It had to be
a Martinez.
Totally.
No, it's actually a Hancock, but that's my maiden name.
Is there an LP candidate down there? I think they just found one.
Yeah. Hancocked.
Yeah, she's my little
and
namesake.
And ready for beatings. Oh, Gina, you never fail to disappoint the entertainment department.
I do what I can.
So there's been quite a lot. Last couple weeks, we've really kind of struggled looking for things to talk about. This week, not as much.
It's burst, man. It comes in bursts.
Right. We've got old man McCain wandering into the into the Syrian peninsula, and he poses with Syrian rebels or Lebanese rebels, and he can't, standing in front of these people, make a moral decision about who they are or might not be, and then he wants us to send, large shipments of weapons to the region because we can trust those guys.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got that story. We've got Michelle Obama screaming at people.
The diva.
The diva. She really, I mean, it's kind of a sad audio. And maybe we'll play it at the end.
I think it's what a lot of people have suspected for a long time, but
right.
She finally cracked.
Right. But that's a little more of a Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh type of, Glenn Beck can cover that stuff. But we will play the audio for you at the end because it is interesting, and I've got a point on it. What else were we going to talk? We got the Supreme Court decision that if you get arrested... for anything, then, basically what happened is this guy brandished a weapon at a police officer, and so they arrested him. They took his DNA and they linked him to a rape like 15 years earlier.
Yeah.
And he sued and it went to the Supreme Court, and now it is legal for, they consider it ID, your DNA, so it's just the same as a fingerprint or... an ID card.
Yeah, that was their whole defense, was that it's just like a fingerprint.
It's exactly the same. So we've got that to discuss. But the big one really is something that we've mentioned a few times, and it's not necessarily a big surprise to libertarians, but we're glad that everybody else is surprised, frankly, because, as you post it, libertarians are like, I've been talking about this and posting it on my Twitter
Nixon.
and my Google Plus for at least 7.5 years. And it's like, yes, we know that, but everybody else is catching up now. Let's all just be glad.
Yeah.
And do what we can to inform them. And hope they care. Yeah. Oh, did you just spill beer?
Party foul.
I caught it before I knocked it all the way over.
Spilled beer everywhere.
I think the Heineken escaped.
Yeah, you spilled some on the electrical outlet.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, if we short out, it's your fault.
Hold on. We don't want to get electrocuted. We'll be right back. Here.
Come on down.
All right, so we didn't die.
I had a alcohol accident.
Yeah, he poured Heineken all over the power strip.
I did.
So if it had been Molson, it would have been an ironic end, wouldn't it?
It would have been. I thought about buying Labatt, but I was like, I value life too much to do that.
Oh, I do have several Canadian Easter eggs hidden throughout my house. So if you guys ever walk through and you spot it, it'll be a nice little inside joke for you. What do you think about Canada, Gina?
I blame Canada, mostly.
All right. Fair
enough.
Good
start.
Actually, Canada doesn't look too bad these days.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I hear they don't wiretap their citizens. And
well, maybe.
Well, that's because their citizens have given up the will to be free.
Yes. I think they just buy the data from us and we spy on them.
Last topic that we'll discuss today is how much is land going for in Costa Rica? So the NSA... why don't you, Greg, we're glad that Greg is not on vacation this week because there's so many facts and details that are going into the story. And there was another confirmation of something that we've thought, but Glenn Greenwald. Let's all find out what Glenn Greenwald of The Guardian, who has long written about civil liberties and is an excellent, excellent person to follow. He's just the man. He lives in Brazil, you said.
He lives in Brazil. He writes for The Guardian. He's a reporter for The Guardian, but he lives down there.
Right. Why is that?
I think it's because of the no extradition with the United States. That's my suspicion. I think he claims something else, but I believe that's why he's there.
So The Guardian is one of the major British newspapers. It's a little more left-leaning, but it is a reliable source. It's not the Daily Mirror or, you know, the New York Post.
It's a lot like Salon.com.
Yeah.
You know.
And Glenn Greenwald, who used to work at Slate, now works over at The Guardian across the pond. And he is an American, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was leaked several pieces and probably has more. They'll probably stretch this out over the next few days. So who knows what else he'll have. Put out a few details about the NSA spying on Americans. And... While we're mentioning Glenn Greenwald, somebody find out what that guy likes.
Yes.
Does he like girls? Does he like boys? Does he like hamburgers? Does he like, you know, the Criterion Collection and movies? Whatever it is, find out what he wants and likes and get him as much of that as possible.
Let's start a Kickstarter campaign for Glenn Greenwald, and then we'll just buy him everything.
Glenn Greenwald gets whatever he wants fund.
Yes.
So, all right, so give us the details of the story. What was reported this very day?
All right, so Glenn Greenwald got leaked a couple documents as of right now. The first one was a court order, and it was top secret. It's highly classified as it could be, that granted secret foreign intelligence surveillance court authority to Verizon, to the NSA, to Verizon to share all data, and it requires Verizon, one of the nation's largest telecommunication companies, on an ongoing daily basis to give the NSA information on all telephone calls in its systems, both within the U.S. and between the U.S. and other countries. Now, essentially, it's not though the actual content of the phone call is how it's being reported. What it is, it's metadata. So it's whatever numbers you called and then locations where the calls originated and then were received at.
It's overreach.
It's metadata, or essentially. So it is not specific, although we'll get into that in a minute and reintroduce some evidence that we had presented previously. And this is something that we knew was, you know, happening because of the FISA courts and the FISA scandal under Bush, and they pinky swore to not spy on any phone calls within the United States domestically under Bush. They said, we pinky swear we won't do it. We're only tapping the phones from outgoing calls to international phone calls.
To terrorists.
To terrorists. You have nothing to worry about if you're not making international calls. You know, so it's like, all right, yeah, I trust them. They'll be responsible. Well, come and lo and behold, they have basically been taking every phone call within the United States. They say it's just with Verizon, but I don't...
Oh, no, it's definitely with all of them.
It's got to be.
Yeah, there's no way just Verizon's doing it, or they'd strong-arm the other companies, too.
There was something, and I will look it up, but it was exposed in 2006, where AT&T had a secret NSA center where they were...
It was in their switch control room in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. So I'll look up the details on that and give you... tell you what, actually, if you really want to find it, go to our Twitter page.
Yep.
And I tweeted out the Wikipedia about the secret AT&T data center that was run by the NSA and AT&T headquarters. So, yeah, it's only Verizon. So if you're one of those people like, I'm giving up my Verizon, it's like, good luck.
But that one's a bigger deal because that's one where they can actually listen to the content of the calls, and that was the scandal. And then they've had military scandals with it before, too, where several I actually don't know their rank, but they were laughing about it. They were overheard laughing about it, how they listened to their generals have, like, essentially phone sex with their wives back in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. I hadn't heard anything about that.
Not that I'd be interested in that kind of thing at all, but...
Yeah.
Said every military guy ever.
That'd be like the ultimate libertarian betrayal, a three-way between your wife and the government.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of various things like there's been and it was room 641A is a telecommunication interception facility operated by AT&T for the NSA.
Yeah.
So go to Wikipedia and look up room 641A, or you can check out our Twitter feed and find more details about that. Another thing that Wired actually had a piece out. Several issues ago, and it was an exclusive talking about the world's largest data center being built out in Utah.
It's a $2 billion data storage facility of the NSA.
It's like 100 trillion terabytes.
Yes.
So if you think you have a terabyte drive, you know, or 500 gig drive, it's 100, what did I say? 100 million of those?
Yeah, 100 million
of those. So what do you think that's costing us?
Oh, it's costing you a lot, but
it's $2
billion
to operate per year.
Right.
Per year.
Per year.
Wow.
They're not, and the thing is this is the stuff we know about, right? Everything's being recorded.
Right.
Literally everything. This is the stuff that's being used for intelligence gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have everything that ever happens on any cell network, and they'll always be able to look into it. So that's what's really scary is they're already keeping track of everything. It's just this is just what we know they're using like data modeling on.
Now let's give the audience some evidence to support what you've just said. Let's play a clip from CNN. It was shortly after the Boston bombing, and it is an ex-FBI agent talking to CNN. He was originally on Aaron Burnett at night. And he kind of let it slip that they had the phone conversations between Tamerlan and his wife, Catherine. And Aaron Burnett kind of said, what did you just say? And so Carol Costello the next morning had the FBI agent on. And she said this, essentially.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to the phone call between Catherine Russell and her husband, Tamerlan Tsarnaev. You said something very interesting on Aaron Burnett's show last night. You said that if Catherine Russell does not divulge the contents of this phone call, that the FBI had other methods finding out what was said. What did you mean by that?
Well, on the national security side of the house, in the federal government, you know, we have assets. There's lots of assets at our disposal throughout the intelligence community, and also not just domestically but overseas. Those assets allow us to gain information and intelligence on things that we can't use ordinarily in a criminal investigation but are used for major terrorism investigations or counterintelligence investigations.
And you're not talking about voicemail, right? What are you talking about exactly?
I'm talking about all digital communications there's a way to look at digital communications in the past. And I can't go into detail of how that's done or what's done, but I can tell you that no digital communication is secure. And so these communications will be found out. The conversation will be known. And it's just a question of whether or not Catherine Russell decides to own up to what was said prior to that information being known or after the fact. And it'll be unfortunate for her if she doesn't own up to it completely and fully, because the facts of this case, the facts of her involvement and communication with her husband will be known.
All right, so that was former FBI counterterrorism agent Tim Clemente on CNN saying that they have access to all digital communications. If you want to share that, you can go to WeAreLibertarians.com, and I posted it earlier today. We posted the video there. I think it's pretty shocking that the government has access to every piece of digital communication ever transmitted in the United States and probably around the world.
Yeah, I think it's global. I really do. I think that they can get anything they want anytime. Although just now it's just a question of, well, do they even need a warrant to get it?
Well, clearly they don't. I mean, the AP scandal, you know, I was watching Fox News before you all got here, and I was listening to Charles Krauthammer in the panel, and they were saying, you know, this isn't a big deal. This isn't anywhere near as big of a deal as the IRS scandal. And I'm like, are you high? Like, what are you talking about? This isn't nearly as big as the IRS scandal. This is the government violating the Fourth Amendment and is leaked out by a British journalist on D-Day. You know, how about all those poor soldiers who fought for our freedoms on D-Day?
Yeah.
And now we have a story where the government is blindly violating the Fourth Amendment.
And the problem is, though, it's legal. That's the problem.
They have made it legal.
Their interpretation of the law is called third-party legal theory.
Sure.
And what that says is once you turn over your personal information to a third party, it's no longer private. So if you make a phone call, because I've made a phone call to Chris Spangle, I have relinquished my information to the public realm. Because he has intercepted it, and so now everyone can have
it. Because you are using AT&T or Verizon as a third party to digitally carry that information to the cell tower, which bounces back. So it's ludicrous is what it is, but it's been upheld by the Supreme Court, and we have several I've listed several of the bills that how we got here, essentially. So if you go to WeAreLibertarians.com and scroll down to the national section, I talk about the Republicans' responsibility for what's happening, because if you look at, and I use the example of Congressman Mike Pence, the Indiana governor, who is supposedly a freedom fighter.
Small government conservative.
You look at his track record of voting for every one of these pieces of legislation, which led to this point, and it is just a bunch of baloney.
Oh, absolutely.
That these people are small government conservatives when they vote for something that will allow the government legally to, without a warrant, listen into your phone calls. So what does this mean for the average American? And let's start with Gina Martinez. What does this mean for you on a daily basis?
I mean, it's not going to change my habits. I'm going to make the same phone calls. I'm going to transmit the same information. I mean, frankly, I'm not doing anything that I give a rat about the government knowing about.
You avoided the F word and you ended up with the A word.
What a lady.
But at least you...
I tried.
You tried.
Okay. So my point is, I'm not doing anything illegal, so I'm not going to alter my daily routine as far as my telephone use goes. I'm just going to be exceptionally disappointed in my government. I'm going to hold them accountable next time I have a vote, a say in this situation. And anyone who supported this is not going to get my vote simply because it's an egregious overstep. Like you're saying, they have obliterated the Fourth Amendment. It's out of control.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah. And who's going to stand up and repair that? Who's going to stand up and make that right? It's going to be us. Mm-hmm. Because nobody else is going to step up to the plate.
I actually think there's a different strategy. Yeah. Because I honestly don't think there's any way of legislating out of this. Like, there's no way to pass another law on top of this law. Do you think so?
I think unpassing the series of laws, everything since the Patriot Act.
Rand Paul, bless his heart, passed. You've probably seen it on social media if you're a libertarian, because if Rand Paul farts in the morning, then everybody retweets it. And he put out, he's introducing a bill to committee to reintroduce the Fourth Amendment. And you read it and it's one page and it's very broad. It's not specific. It's sort of a publicity stunt, but hey, I guess you got to start somewhere. And it's sad that we have to introduce a bill to follow the Fourth Amendment. The starting point would be removing Article 251 of the Patriot Act. Let's repeal that. Article 251 of the Patriot Act is what gives them the ultimate, that was the beginning of this authority to go in and look for materials, and that is what created the FISA courts. That's what has led to this point. So introduce a bill repealing that. So it's, you know, it's a half step.
Yeah.
You know.
And I don't know that even that does any good, because then you still have the 87 or 78 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which was really the predecessor to the Patriot
right.
Act. I honestly, and what's really driving this is, especially like when these things do come out, the only reason this came out was because of a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
And this president has tried to stop whistleblowing more than any president I've ever seen.
He's prosecuted six journalists under the Espionage Act.
Yep.
Which is, I think it's only been one or two.
It's been
two.
three total. Entire history of the country.
So he's doubled that in the last 5 years.
Yep. And what you need is not necessarily a candidate that's going to stand up there and say, well, I'm going to enforce the Fourth Amendment. I'm going to make sure your rights are protected. You almost need a president that says, if you elect me, I'm going to run and I'm going to make you a promise. I will pardon every single whistleblower. And not only that, I will offer financial rewards for whistleblowing.
Yeah.
And almost be dictatorial in it, because our institutions have become unmanageable. Yeah. You can't pass a law that can catch enough people unless you turn the institutions up from the inside on themselves. And then I think you right. might have a chance.
You look at The Daily Show last night. They did a piece, and we tweeted this out as well. They did a piece on how much of a failure the healthcare system is. Government-run healthcare at the state level is a failure. And they did it to try and prove that federal-run healthcare will be successful if we could just get rid of state-run healthcare. It's like, are you trying to say that because this level with 330,000 people is a failure, that 330 million
yeah.
people will be successful? Like, what are you talking about? You know, Jon Stewart, later in the episode, when he talks to former Obama speechwriter Jon Favreau, no, not that one, just a different one.
Yeah.
You know, he said, well, the VA is a real warning sign for me as a liberal, because they've, you know, this was his priority number two or three when he came into office, and nothing is fixed, and he hasn't done anything about it. And it really gives me pause that the federal government can manage this. And it's like, think. I love Jon Stewart, but use your brain. You know, it's the bureaucracy doesn't work. The growth of the government does not work.
And there are so many ways to deal with it, and to think that centralized control is the only way to go about it. And especially with insurance, like, that is what makes things so expensive.
Right.
Anytime you have a third party payment system, it causes inflation of care. And so it's like no one has ever, like, they're supposed to be the intellectual elite, the smart New York liberal, and they can't figure anything out at all.
Right. Good job, Gina. That was
well,
good.
I mean, I feel like we obviously need to do something about healthcare in this nation, because it's out of control, and
sure.
so many of our citizens can't afford healthcare, and that should be a basic right. It really should. I was enthusiastic about the idea that Obama presented early on, as far as no pre-existing conditions, and
but that's already run out of money, that fund.
It's Obamacare, and we'll probably have to talk about this on a very upcoming episode, because Obamacare looks like it could be in serious trouble.
The first human interest story hit this week
yes.
about that young girl and the lung transplant, and when those happen, that's the ball game.
Yep. And so we'll shelve that for just a little bit down the road, because at the end we've got a little potpourri that we ought to just do. You know, let's get back to the NSA story. You know, Joe Ruiz found a clip. Again, our managing editor, we've put the video of this up at WeirdLibertarians.com. This is a clip of Barack Obama, candidate, in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about basically the exact same program, only back then the program was only known to be domestic to international calls and vice versa. It wasn't domestic. You know, they were very clear. We pinky swear, yes, technically this technology could be used to spy on all domestic phone calls, but we promise we'll never do that. here is what candidate Barack Obama said back in 2007.
For dealing with the terrorists, this administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens, No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime.
All right, so that was Barack. And President Barack, for any of you, a lot of you liberals listening. Joe said, you know.
President for all of you.
I don't think we have any liberals in the audience.
We might. We have Gina.
Right.
She just said she liked Obamacare.
She's like the wall
commie.
I know,
I said I was enthusiastic
if she hadn't
about
brought me
a certain point.
If she hadn't brought me Arby's, I would have kicked her out.
That's right.
Arby's always gets me in. It's the sauce.
It is.
The horsey.
It's the best part of Arby's. Focus, everybody. So Joe Ruiz said, you know, that was the moment that I really started to like Barack Obama. Because he was saying exactly what I was thinking. I just, you know, because Joe was a civil libertarian. And he's like, I'm just so incredibly disgusted with him right now. I'm just, you know, how could I? I'm disgusted with myself for ever supporting Barack Obama. I mean,
it's got to make you wonder what the motivation is for the shift. It makes me wonder.
Either nuclear war with Al Qaeda is imminent.
Right. Or like something's cooking.
Or big government is too big for anyone, no matter how high-minded you are, to control. It's one or the other. Either we are literally under like nuclear threat every single day, like that's the level of surveillance we're at.
Right.
Or he literally can't do anything.
There was.
And it makes me wonder which of those is the case.
I know.
I think it is the fact that the system is just built up. There was a story, and I hate to do this to you listeners, but it was a story that Glenn Beck told. I apologize.
He's a libertarian, man.
He's getting there. man, that was ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the spectrum of this program. He's getting there, man. Oh.
I'm trying really
Please go
hard
to goldline.com.
Make a bleep happen.
I know. So he told a story about how he went and visited the White House and he visited President Bush. And it was during the 07-08 campaign and Obama was out trashing Bush about something about foreign domestic policy. And I forget what the issue was, but, you know, they sat with Bush in the Oval Office, and he said, you know, it really doesn't matter what he wants to do, because it's already decided for him. I have decided. And basically what Bush was saying is that it doesn't matter what Barack Obama wants to do. He's not going to be able to get out of the wars. He's not going to be able to shut down the NSA. He's not even going to be able to do a lot of stuff domestically. It's the system. The bureaucracy, the lobbyist, the Congress, the culture of Washington, all of it is set in stone.
Yep.
And so,
no, it's not set in stone, but it's pretty firm. It's firming up, kids.
Right. It is not impossible that you could get somebody like a Rand Paul or a Gina Martinez into the White House and start rolling it back, especially with executive orders, because you can't wait on Congress to start enforcing the Constitution. But I always thought that was very, very telling. Even though it came from Glenn Beck, I had no reason. He's told it several times and has told it the same way. You know, these decisions on foreign policy are decided for Barack Obama.
Yep.
So he can go out and say things like what he said in 2007, but it's not going to change a thing, and he isn't going to be able to change it.
In theory, for instance, Guantanamo. If he really, really wanted to, I mean, if he didn't care the political backlash, he could pardon all those people. Make sure that there was no funding for it in the next budget, threaten to veto it, and shut it down.
Right.
But it's not worth right. the political waste of doing that.
Guantanamo.
But what political waste? He can't run for re-election.
No, but he doesn't want to be. I mean, he's really been like the last probably year and a half of his first term, and then since, he has not done a thing. Legislatively, he hasn't got anything accomplished he's wanted to get accomplished, and I don't think he will.
He shot his wad with Obamacare.
Yeah, Obamacare spent every nickel he had of political capital. Every nickel.
And second terms are historically losers. There's really not going to be a lot that he could do. Guantanamo, I think, could be done because it's easier now than it was 4 years ago when he tried to shut it down the first time and wanted to try him in New York City and everybody went crazy, which was a stupid idea.
Dumb.
Like, that was totally, I don't know what that was, but you're going to shut down the city of New York for 8 months to try these guys?
I mean,
take them to Omaha. They got nothing going on.
Canada. We'll annex a little thing, declare it America for like the length of the trial, and then we'll hand it back. Probably make some improvements.
Force him
to eat
nothing but maple syrup and watch hockey
for
7 months.
So hey, did you know they haven't won a Stanley Cup Finals since 1993? Just tossing that out there. No Canadian team for 20 years.
Right. Well, now I'm totally derailed.
No, about Obama getting back on track.
Yeah, all I've got in my mind is the photo op of all the suspected terrorists from Guantanamo in like Hannibal Lecter get-ups being transported downtown New York.
CIA dressed like Dudley Do-Right. Right. Like moose races.
Oh, man.
I don't know. What do Canadians do? Moose racing?
I don't know what they do. Well,
just be French. Yeah.
But it does make you wonder how he got to such a staunch shift in his position between now and then, and what kind of expectations he's operating under.
Maybe he lied when he was campaigning.
I highly doubt that, because I mean, I honestly believe that candidate Barack Obama would have not. Like, I honestly want to believe that candidate Barack Obama wanted to end wiretapping before he got in and realized how entrenched it was, what was involved, and whatever other circumstances would lead a person to shift such a philosophy.
All right, so let's ask this question. What if there is some seriously scary S on these details and... You know, they get the reports, they see the trends from Facebook, and they get the daily reports from, wherever, the phone calls. What if there is some seriously scary stuff that, you know, and this is what Bush always said, like, if you saw what I saw, then you'd quit complaining. What if we're just crazy about shutting down the NSA and shutting down these programs? Let's start with the Republican first.
If that's the case, which I would doubt, and that's the typical Republican response, like Rogers today, the head of the House Intelligence Committee, that was his justification for
right.
it, was we saved a major attack last year, you know, but they never get to publicize those.
It's like 100 attacks, I think he said.
Yeah, and if that is the case, don't think the American people are so stupid and so juvenile that you can't release us with the facts, let us vet it to make sure it's true, and then I think we would be... okay with maybe a small, not the level we're at now. Not, I mean, no. This is total Orwellian 1984.
Exactly.
Completely.
But we would accept certain restrictions, especially if it was domestic to foreign type of calls, those kinds of things, to make sure that we were safe. And it also put us on high alert, and hell, in Boston, that's what found the terrorist. The guy went outside to smoke a cigarette. They had that place under martial law, and they were completely ineffective at finding him.
Yeah.
You know, open source it to the American people, and I'm sure we'll have much better solutions.
Yeah.
Much more humane.
It's just the same folly. I mean, it's just like John McCain in Syria with the Lebanese terrorists. It's like you're standing in front of them, and yet you want to give them weapons.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's just bumbling. I don't remember. I'm a mess tonight.
about the, is it a threat? You know, what would you say if they really were threats? Would you accept them?
You know, we say this on the podcast, and then we get to the White House. You're elected the first Latina.
I'm not a f***ing Latina. My maiden name is Hancock.
Oh.
That's like white, yo. That's like...
Waspy.
When you're running for office, Gina, you play every card you've got.
All right.
I'm running as a Cherokee and a Choctaw.
Well, yeah. Okay,
I have the color
Native
of
American.
Ham.
I do have Native American heritage.
Oh.
But no, I mean...
So anyways, you get elected to the White House.
Yeah.
You're sitting at the Roosevelt's desk there.
When?
And you get your report.
It's the return of the Hancocks to American history.
Right.
Duh.
There
you go. So yes, there I am. I'm picturing it. Where are we going? Am I repealing this? Fuck yeah.
Right. Hold on, let me mark down that time. All right.
But you can't as a president.
Are we wrong? Are there things that they might see that we just look at it and go, I mean, let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, what could they possibly see that would make it acceptable to do broad, sweep? Like, how is it any of their business what I'm discussing with my grandmother on a Sunday afternoon? How is it acceptable for them to tap into every piece of digital communication and have access to that? It really is Orwellian. I mean, it's out of control. It's 1982, 30 years late.
Okay, so there's one line of thought that could say, okay, well, what's on these reports? It's, you know, we're now at a point with terrorism where it's two brothers with pressure cookers blowing it up in a crowded square. It probably isn't, you know, it could maybe be the Oklahoma City bombings. Do you want to be the president that doesn't stop it because you've disbanded the NSA?
But is it honestly the president's responsibility to prevent future crime?
Yes.
I mean, this comes back to the, what's the Tom Cruise movie with the three people in the water?
Minority Report.
Yeah. Minority Report. There you go. I mean, is it the president's responsibility to predict, prevent, and create a situation where we're all so safe from crime that we spy on each other?
Right.
At all times. I mean, to me, the Boston Marathon bombing was a completely tragic incident, but I don't blame Barack Obama for the fact that it went down.
Right.
And that was with 100% access to all of our digital information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I know. That's not an effective solution.
It is what I've said on the podcast time and time again. You don't walk out of your house in the morning. You may not come back. You are not guaranteed.
On the mean streets of Indiana.
In the mean streets. You've lived in Polo Run, okay? Where I live.
Is there spring shooting still a thing?
Spring shooting is scheduled for next week, I think.
Right on.
But, you know, you're not guaranteed to walk out of your house and ever come home at night. And it doesn't matter how much NSA or how much local police or how much of this or that there is. It's not a guarantee. You have no right to safety. And I think that's what we're developing in this country, and our politicians are leading it because they don't want to be the ones that dismantle the NSA. They don't want to be the Congress that ends the FISA courts and have another tragic event on their hands. Because look at what happens with the gun control debate.
Yep.
You know, you can't be the NRA. That's gross.
Well, I mean, are they doing it globally? Do they have access to all electronic data information globally?
I mean,
I'm certain that a terrorist in one foreign country could call a terrorist in another foreign country, and that's going to be the most effective way to pass communication about a large-scale incident.
Breaking news, Apple denies knowledge of NSA's PRISM surveillance program.
They're not allowed to acknowledge it. That's part of the contract.
That
was part of the leaked
document.
That
came out in the document.
None of the companies can acknowledge that they have any... that it exists.
Basically what happens, the federal government is allowed to tap into these top nine companies, into their main database, and skim the information for patterns. So, you know, Barack Obama in his morning report gets that, you know, Paris Jackson is the number one Google search, or who knows what he gets in the reports. But
it's actually more about like it's a lot like the signature strikes they do with drones. Mm-hmm. They all they do is watch for behaviors and then try to determine the likelihood that you're going to be at this and this spot at a certain time. And now, like from what I read, they're at about 80% accuracy. They're not perfect because they don't have a perfect model of terrorist behavior yet.
Sure,
but they're getting close.
Hey, by the way, in a totally unrelated matter. The government reported this week, the CIA said that they have killed people accidentally. The drones, sometimes they malfunction, and then they just accidentally shoot a rocket into a house. It happens, you know, nobody's perfect.
It's like a firework.
Right, exactly. Only people die.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, tell me something. Do drones kill people? Because guns don't kill people.
Right.
I'm just curious.
So, yes. I blame my government just as much as I blame a murderer.
So drones don't kill people?
No, drones
governments
don't kill people?
Drones are, is that what we're going with?
Drones
maybe?
Are surveillance tools until you have a murderous person on the other end or someone that's just following orders.
Right.
You know?
Well, no, until you have a weapon on the drone. And at that point, it's no longer a surveillance tool, homie. It's a weapon.
Well, unless it's used to...
No. If it's a surveillance tool, it does not need to be weaponized.
No, yeah, no,
period,
I agree.
Period. End.
I do want to call myself a flip-flopper because I have changed my position on drones.
Because of droneronies?
Droneronies.
Pepperonis, that's what it was.
Domino's has a commercial where they're delivering pizzas by drones. There's no stoplights. There's no stoned loser getting lost with my pizza.
Hey, he needs a job, too.
I want my pizza, I want it fast, I want it hot, and I want it dropped through my roof with a large accelerated force And I, in fact, if
do you want the new Domino's shoot?
I just wish that it would be like Jack's Pizza or Jet's Pizza and not Domino's.
Yeah.
Like, really? Maybe spend less time on the drones for delivering your pizzas and more time on reducing the amount of garlic and salt you put on your pizzas. And that is from an obese man. Okay? Calm it down with the garlic. You're still better than Pizza Hut, but...
Oh, gosh.
Those are my two favorites. We must have, like, complete opposite pizza tastes.
Yeah, I have good taste.
Oh,
and
ouch.
You have...
No, he's very, like... He buys local.
Big fan of Chuck E. Cheese?
Okay, I do eat a lot of Chuck E. Cheese, but I'm not a big fan.
Little Caesars. Like,
though, can
she
we...
just likes to hide in the ball pit.
Hey, the ball pit's gone, and it saddens me. Can we agree on Brozini's, though?
Oh, if you're in Indianapolis, Brozini's... It does not get better than Brozini's on Emerson, down by St. Francis Hospital near Greenwood.
Oh, that's,
huh. That's not far from Irvington.
Strip mall it's down below like the Southport exit. You gotta go.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Anyways, the people listening in California don't care about Brozini's, but you really you gotta.
Well, they've
try.
Got CPK, so nobody's sad for them.
Exactly.
So do we. Circle Center Mall.
Yeah, it's not the same.
I had CPK when it was actually in California.
Exactly, and it's a did totally it, different dining experience.
Did it get cleared
me.
Up?
Huh?
Oh.
And CPK is a clear.
Take some penicillin for that?
No, I was like pretending like I was a hipster. Like, I had it when it was actually California Pizza
so
Kitchen.
So that's hipster? It's
oh, yeah.
Fine hipster for me.
All right, ironic. So have we run out of gas on the NSA?
Well, I think it segues into...
Here
no right
DNA.
To privacy.
Yeah, I mean, every single week, it's sort of the same story. It's just...
There went your rights. Goodbye.
Let's ask this question before we go to the Supreme Court ruling. At what point do we declare tyranny? When
oh,
do we
wow.
cry foul the... When
You're
do
just
we,
throwing that out there,
when
right?
do we let loose the war of tyrannical dogs? I mean, when does Adam Kokesh become right?
Ouch. That's a matter of perspective.
Adam Kokesh, and I will say this, Adam Kokesh's sentiment is right. It is right. Is he advocating the right vehicle to get to where we want to go? Definitely not.
Meaning?
Just outright revolution.
Right, with weapons
yeah.
and all that stuff.
There's still,
he's one of those guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Kokesh is advocating armed march on July 4th on state capitals.
Oh.
And I kind of think Maya's there, too.
Yes.
So, but Maya just generally is looking for any excuse to be...
to be Maya.
Maya.
To wear a corset and a weapon.
Right.
Never once have I heard her talk about Turkish repression, and her entire Facebook feed yesterday was the Occupy... Or the Turkish protest downtown in Indianapolis yesterday. But I don't think we're there that we need outright revolution. Do you, Gina?
Wow, that's one of those questions. I personally, I don't think that today is the day to take to the streets with your arms. No. Do I think that we've lost enough of our liberties? Absolutely. Would I be judgmental of anyone who decided that was the case? No.
No.
But at the same
time...
So
you're saying that if Maya went on the... State House lawn and started shooting her weapons at the Capitol because she's mad at the government, you'd be okay with that?
No. I'm really glad we clarified. No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, let's face it, she's going to be outgunned in the long run. They're going to
right.
scoop her up. She's going to probably be put to death.
Anybody who watches Dorner... or what happened with the LAPD in Dorner...
Oh, yeah.
What happened in Boston... Like, you really think that an armed revolution is going to do jack S?
No, you have to have literally probably like 80% of the country if it's going to be effective at all. And then...
And you can't even get 80% of the country to watch
I know,
the
that,
same
that's
sitcom.
That's the thing, is I don't think revolution's ever even possible until you have at least 60%.
So we're closing that door before the... I mean, hopefully the NSA is listening, because maybe they'll learn something. But,
right.
So what do you do? I mean, I think the answer is take all the energy that you'd like to put into fighting a war like an idiot and go out and canvass some neighborhoods and knock on doors and talk to your neighbors and learn how to talk to your neighbors, as we covered last week, in an effective manner. I mean, today, in my mind, was a great day for liberty.
Yes.
You know, because I know that sounds weird, but how many people shared that article by Glenn Greenwald and how many people were had their eyes opened by that article today and said, wow, this is messed up. So you're telling me that they're going into the top 9 email and social network and Google search search engines and looking at those patterns. They're also listening to my emails and my
chat,
phone calls and your chats.
What websites you go to.
Everything.
Everything.
Every digital communication. Well, that's okay because it's the bad guys.
Nope.
Well, who decides who the bad guys are? I don't know. Maybe we'll leave it up to a neutral body like the IRS to decide who's the bad guys or not.
People forget the FBI targeted Martin Luther King under Kennedy.
Yeah.
They tried to get Martin Luther King Jr. to commit suicide. They had like 17 different wiretaps in places he would go. They were going to expose everything. And when he wrote about it, and this came out way after he got assassinated, he wrote about how he thought they wanted him to kill himself by what they were going to expose.
They had found, because they had been tapping his phones, J. Edgar Hoover had found out that he was having an affair. And they used it to blackmail him.
Yep.
And that is, you know, it's not a dystopian future that we're laying out. We're talking about a person who was
revered as a beacon of civil liberties.
As a beacon of civil liberties, who is having his phone tapped and being blackmailed and is being pressured to shut up and go away because of this same procedure. Only now they're doing it on a global level. You don't think that the government could listen into a congressman's phone call, find evidence of his affair?
Oh, yeah.
And then go to him and say, do this? I mean, don't you think that they could listen in on a reporter's phone call and find out about a drug addiction? And then go to them and say, start writing favorable stories about this. Or if you're assigned a negative story, write it this way. Because we have this information on you. This isn't a dystopian future.
This is right now.
This is right now.
Holder had a private meeting with journalists the other day about how he should approach like overclassification and revealing things with the press. And no one got to be in there except a handful of journalists. And they're already manipulating everything. This is hilarious that no one in the United States has exposed this. No one has exposed any of these scandals over the last...
There is not one American media outlet that exposed the 4 scandals that we're discussing right now.
The last huge one was John Edwards. And that was the National Enquirer.
And
they won
Walker.
A friggin' Pulitzer.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
The last awesome. Major scandal that the American press released was John Edwards with the Enquirer.
Yeah.
Breitbart covered it today. It was the IRS scandal was discovered because the IRS planted a question in their own press conference. The NSA was, it's stuff that we've known, but it's never been confirmed like it has been today by Glenn Greenwald, who writes for a British paper and lives in Brazil. What were the other two, the ways that they were discovered?
The other big one would have been Syria. Benghazi?
Benghazi.
Yeah, Benghazi. And then, you have Bradley Manning and then Julian Assange with WikiLeaks.
No, it was... What are the scandals? We're forgetting our scandals.
You have Benghazi. You have the IRS.
IRS.
You have... the AP.
AP scandal.
AP was a... And then Rosen, Fox News.
And James Rosen. You know, they didn't even notify those organizations that they were spying on them. Judith Miller, who was the New York Times reporter that went to jail for 50-some days because she wouldn't give up Scooter Libby, allegedly, as her source... And she wrote an article for the Jewish Post or the Jewish Review. I'm not sure. We'll post it later, where she talks about how Obama is the most not since Nixon has there been this sort of malaise in journalism where people are afraid to talk to journalists because they're cracking down on whistleblowers. The only person that has done this in recent memory like this is Nixon.
Yeah,
he's far worse than Bush. This is a former New York Times writer.
Oh, they killed him today when this came out.
Mm-hmm.
There was an op-ed by the Times, and I was like, wow, this is like a father disowning their favorite son.
James Rosen and the AP didn't even have the opportunity to go to jail for contempt of court. They just went into their phone records and emails and pulled the data, and then they criminalized him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her point, too, is you're now criminalizing journalists as well. You may not prosecute them, but you're calling them criminals. And that is how you're persecuting these things. I mean, it's really, you know, I don't think that if this had come out 2 months ago, I don't think that it would be as big of a deal as it is now, because you have all these various stories that just fit together.
Uh-huh. It almost seems coordinated. And I don't know what's going on.
Almost.
No, no, I'm just saying it seems coordinated.
I just love that two conspiracies have come out this afternoon, and I did not bring up either of them.
Which conspiracies?
These are conspiracies. These were proven.
I mean,
it's
confuse
proven that J. Edgar Hoover tried to make...
Oh, yeah. Yes. It was in a Freedom of Information request.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 100%. J. Edgar Hoover was a terrible person.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
So, no, a conspiracy would be that the United States government is running guns to Syria, and Ambassador Stevens, and Ambassador Stevens was the regional point person for the gun running by the CIA to the Syrians, which violates international law, and that is ultimately what they're covering up in Benghazi. See, that would be a conspiracy.
Is that an example of
that's
one?
That's just an example of a conspiracy that is totally wacky and, you know, just makes you crazy if you believe in that sort of thing.
That is something that I'm confident will come out in 10 to 15 years. No one will care then, but it'll be come out by then.
And I guess we should give a conspiracy shout out to our buddy Galt.
Yes.
Fluoride.
Hey.
Fluoride got removed from where? Portland?
Portland. They stood up against the tyranny of big government and wanted English teeth.
So, big ups to our buddy Galt. Yeah. Everything sucks and we're all going
to
die.
No, because all you have to do is change the culture. You can change the culture. If you can, because ultimately, what is the NSA? It's a group of individuals that are following orders.
Right.
They're Americans. At a certain point, I think there will be a backlash. You know, these are people who live in a community. They live in Virginia. It's just north of D.C. I mean, do they really want to be that oppressive?
I was thinking today that the best strategy to defeating this sort of tyranny, is what I'm going to call it because that's exactly what it is not to do anything violent. It's not to do anything other than go to that area and befriend people who work at the NSA.
Yep.
Well, but
or
I've
befriend
gotta wonder,
people who work for the CIA or FBI.
Do you really think that there are people, that there's a group of people that just live in Virginia that have the time to sit down and go through bajillions of terabytes of data? Or do you think that we're paying, that we've outsourced these positions?
It's all done by computer algorithms and patterns, and it's processed on a very, very high level.
Yeah, we actually use a third party, I think it's an Israeli system
okay,
that we
so
use.
Okay, so Israeli.
No, but the NSA analysts are the ones who interpret the data. They
right.
just receive what the algorithm outputs to them.
Interesting.
But at a certain point, I mean, maybe infiltration's the right way to go. Honestly,
if you live in Virginia or Maryland and you know people who work for these agencies, go take them out to coffee, get to know them in San Francisco or Utah where these NSA agencies are. I mean, there's a lot of people in San Francisco who your friend probably is a hacker for the NSA and you just don't know it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you know it, start sharing this stuff with them and just say, here's why this is wrong, or... You know, maybe not send them this podcast, but...
No, but say, you know, getting them to become... have just an awareness, you know? I would think that the NSA probably recruits people who already demonstrate low levels of, like, emotional intelligence.
Sure.
They're almost... They probably display, like... I don't want to say they're sociopaths,
Sheldon Cooper.
They're a little bit more sociopathic.
Again, don't share this podcast with them.
Well, I mean, you know... But, I mean, so that... Maybe hitting them emotionally doesn't work that way, but you almost need like the martyr that gets in, and then we need to, as a country, celebrate whistleblowing.
Yep,
right.
That is so, like, look how Bradley Manning was painted as essentially like the white Osama bin Laden without even being given his day in court.
Yep, finally
Julian
getting it
Assange.
3 years later.
Julian Assange probably got set up for
Assange.
Rape. Assange, sorry.
Yes, you're right.
You know, I mean, if we reward it. And say these people are heroes, not, you know, treason, not committing treason.
On the befriending part, you know, Pete Eyre, EYRE, he runs Cop Block. He's, you know, Motorhome Diaries. He's been around a long time in the Liberty Movement. He's up in the Free Keene Movement up in Keene, New Hampshire. And he was in Indianapolis helping to start a Cop Block group that Maya helps run now here in Indianapolis. And, you know, so we were talking, and I just said, man, the cops in Keene, New Hampshire must hate your guts. And he goes, no, quite the opposite. They love us. because they work for bureaucrats too. Yeah. They hate that. And, you know, we have taken the time to befriend all these police officers that we used to rail against. We take them out to coffee. We explain ourselves. We explain our positions. And we've had several police officers quit because they feel it's immoral to keep doing what they do.
Yeah.
Because nice. We have taken the time to explain ourselves to them.
Teach and educate. Create that awareness in right. people. That's what brings them around.
Right. And I know that it's so tough to be patient for that kind of incrementalism. But you're just going to have to do it. Because you can be the knucklehead that says, I'm going to take up arms. But guess what? You're just going to end up like Tamerlan Sarnov or Christopher Dorner. And you're going to make the rest of us, you're just going to make it worse for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NSA is probably not listening right now. They're scanning it with their big machines.
Yeah.
But then once that happens, the entire libertarian movement becomes, you know, criminalized.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Tagged. Difference. Yeah, it's the difference in the civil rights movement between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And look at the view of most people of history between the two.
It's true.
MLK has statues, and Malcolm X is, he does not.
No.
You know?
And he is the example of the black liberation anger.
Right.
That's what he's held up as.
It's not like we're not angry. I mean, were you angry today, Gina, about all this?
I mean, there were things that created anger today. Yeah, I might have been, because I felt like my rights had been so thoroughly violated and raped that it might have pissed me off a little. I won't lie. But not enough to, like, I mean, it didn't rile me off the sofa.
You didn't
don't
walk
get
in
me
here
wrong.
And, like, punch mittens in the face.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like mittens. You let him get my phone.
Why aren't you a dog?
You know, and we're sitting here saying that Malcolm X is the face of anger for the movement, but that's because that's how the media has portrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of his life, he was a fucking soldier for peace.
Yep.
Yeah, after he went to Mecca.
Yeah.
It's a great story that he wrote in his autobiography about going to Mecca. Great autobiography on Malcolm X. Very, very, you know, insightful and real. And I think the three books by Taylor Bryant about the civil rights movement, those are must reads. And I've thought for a long time that privacy is our civil rights issue. And
for sure.
The way that Thurgood Marshall and Martin Luther King and Stokely Carmichael and Malcolm X had to fight for civil rights over a period of 2 or 3 decades to get civil rights, and you had to have a few courageous politicians to stand up against the multitude of bad politicians. Because, let's face it, you can hate Lindsey Graham and John McCain all you want. Those are the vocal majority. They're just saying what the establishment and the system thinks. And there are very few people like Rand Paul or Ron Paul who are going to stand up, or Justin Amash. Let's give him a shout-out.
Ron Wyden.
Ron Wyden has been great on this. Feingold was amazing. Mm-hmm. He was the only one to vote against the Patriot Act. You know, those guys will have their moment, but you know, we've got to study the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s and learn our lesson and start caring and explain to our friends and family why this is an issue, because it would have been so easy in the 50s for everybody to say, you know, I guess I kind of see, I mean, it'd stink if I couldn't vote, but if I go to work and I start talking about black rights,
mm-hmm.
what are my friends going to think? Well, what's right and what's wrong?
That's all there is.
You know? Yeah, it's going to be weird and awkward if you go and it's, you know, if you go to work and start talking about your constitutional rights, but what's right and what's wrong. And you have to make your friends care, and you have to be persuasive about it. So,
I mean, I don't... Right and wrong is not necessarily the way to go about it, because if you approach a conversation with somebody about right and wrong, you're at a minimum going to have a philosophical discussion. But as far as like what does harm and what doesn't, you know?
I think right and wrong, I mean, you look at it, there's two ways to look at it today. There's the emotional, which is, it's D-Day.
Yeah.
Why are we 69 years after D-Day discussing the loss of our Fourth Amendment rights? What did those guys die for?
The obliteration, you're absolutely
the obliteration
right.
of those rights. That's an emotional argument. And then there's the right and the wrong argument, which also has an emotional component. But, you know, there's the intellectual. I guess you just choose your subject and tailor
the message.
But, I mean, I was angry. I'm very angry. I'm very upset.
I wasn't angry until I heard the politicians. I expect right. this from the bureaucracy, right? You know, that's a given. That's why they exist. But when elected politicians stand up, like Lindsey Graham, someone please primary that please. SOB. And I would just go off on him with so many things that would be inappropriate and probably anger everyone in this audience.
I have never, ever, 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 ever donated to probably any candidate. I don't think I've even donated to Libertarian candidates because, it's you know, when you're the executive director, yeah. you can't donate to candidates because, you know, donated to
cheap
them.
Cheap bastard.
Me. But, sorry.
That's probably why Gina didn't get elected.
If I had
right.
given...
If I had had a $247 budget, yep. it could have made all the difference.
If I had gone to Wes Bishop and given him $100 as executive director, what would you have said to me?
Where's my $100?
Right, and we had 100 candidates. And please,
but if you'd have said that, if you'd added Spangle Bear, you'd have got 200.
That's true. If you had added a couple Spangle Bears,
uh-huh.
But hey. I would consider sending money to whomever runs against Lindsey Graham based on this on this statement alone. Here's what Lindsey Graham said today.
Yeah, we're very much under threat. Radical Islam is on the rise throughout the region. Homegrown terrorism is one of my biggest concerns. It's happening in our own backyard, and I'm glad the NSA is trying to find out what terrorists are up to overseas sure. and inside the country.
Well, Senator, I don't know about you, but I've got Verizon. That means the mm-hmm. government's
I do too.
Okay, you and I and a lot of us here in the studio have been tracked by the NSA following all of our phone detail. Apparently, this program will expire on June the 19th unless it's renewed. Why do you think somebody, somewhere, is leaking this to this UK newspaper so that we would know about it right now?
You know, that's a good question, but I'm a Verizon customer. I don't mind Verizon turning over records to the government if the government's going to make sure that they try to match up a known terrorist phone yeah. with somebody in the United States. I don't think you're talking to terrorists. I know you're not. I know I'm not, so we don't have anything to worry about. I'm glad the activity is going on, but it is limited to tracking people who are suspected to be terrorists and who they may be talking to.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That's what it's supposed to be, but are you sure they're still doing that?
Yes, I'm sure okay. that's what they're
so
doing.
So this is not new to you.
It's not the 100 no. million customers that, okay. that the original report said.
All right.
So I'm sure we should be doing this.
Okay, good. So you're not alone.
What a Lindsey Graham.
Ugh. Ouch.
So we had designated our beloved friend Creighton Harrington has coined the term Lindsey Graham.
You are such a Lindsey Graham.
Don't be a Lindsey Graham. Because every emotion that you have... when you listen to that, that is what a Lindsey Graham is.
Yes.
They cause frustration and bitterness and angry, and you just laugh. So
whatever.
All right. So
it's a little better than a Santorum, though.
A Santorum
you know what?
Is slightly better, but never mind. I'm going to skip that joke.
I hate Rick Santorum, but by God, is he principled Jesus. And he sticks to what he believes? Lindsey
yeah.
Graham... goes whatever way the tide is shifting.
Right.
So, like, at least Santorum is wrong, but committed to being wrong.
Okay. So it's a level of commitment
yes.
that you appreciate.
Well, you know, I like a little bit of backbone in a politician.
All right.
All right, let's do a little snapshot of some of the other stories of the week. Let's start with the very first official Obamacare death panel. And I hate to phrase it like that, but that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Yep.
There was, do you know details about the story?
I read the only like the human part of it, but what it is, her, they do cost benefit analysis
right.
or cost effective analysis, not benefit.
Right.
And it, so it's not,
you get,
yeah.
Essentially what is it going to cost to save your life or to help you with medical care? If you're under 3, it's, you get almost no money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, up to 13, it sort of slides up.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a bunch of money if you're, you know, up to like 40 or 50. And then after 50, they'll give you no money.
Yeah.
And so there's this arc that happens. Well, this girl needed a transplant because she has a terminal disease and needs a liver?
Lung
transplant to save her life. She's got 5 weeks to live and she's 10 years old. And there is a rule or a policy
mm-hmm.
passed by the federal government that did not allow her to get the transplant because she was too young,
mm-hmm.
Because of the resource allocations. Kathleen Sebelius lovingly said, well, basically some people live and some people have to die, and
we'll give her though a pill so she can manage her pain.
Right.
What? I did not hear about this.
Oh, that's because no American media outlet reported on it. It was the Telegraph and it was UK Daily Mail.
Again, it was foreign sources.
So was she on Medicaid or Medicare? Was it a
S-chip, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it?
S-chip for kids. It's funded out of cigarette taxes.
Yeah, child's something, child healthcare initiative program, something. S-chip.
It was one of the first pieces of legislation the president signed, like that in the Lilly Ledbetter.
Yeah. So this girl, you know, there are congressmen who are crying to Kathleen Sebelius, like, you've got to save this girl. You've got to lift this regulation so she has access to the new lung. And Kathleen Sebelius said no, because she doesn't want to be the arbiter of who lives and who dies.
Yep.
Which, by the very rule the government has created, she kind of is, because she's head of health.
She's like
and
the merchant
human
of death.
Services. So a federal judge, which I saw one libertarian weigh in on this that I thought was interesting. A federal judge ordered them to lift the rule so she could get the lung. She got the lung and she's doing fine. But what happened is when this federal judge ordered her, Sebelius, to rule in favor of the girl, they legitimized the power of the Health and Human Services Agency.
Yep.
They now have that power.
The precedent's been set.
The precedent has been set. They no longer... So you now have... The power, according to a federal judge, is now given to the Health and Human Services person to lift rules arbitrarily. Do you live or do you die? How connected are you to get to the top? So I just think it's a...
I mean, if you're on S-CHIP, that would tell me that you're not terribly well connected in the first place.
Sure.
But yeah, it is an ugly situation that... That's despicable.
Well, essentially what's going to happen is right now the insurance companies are demonized.
Mm-hmm.
It's off them now. Everybody's got insurance. It's what the government says.
Right.
So in reality, it's maybe the greatest thing that could ever happen for the conservative or libertarian argument for healthcare is, well, it's not up to the dirty insurance, profit-seeking global multi-billion dollar corporation.
Essentially what's going to happen with Obamacare is that you're just going to have – people are just going to be dumped. From their employer healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
In massive amounts. And so everybody's going to start applying to the exchanges. Costs are going to rise. And this is what happened in Canada. Costs got too expensive, so they had to cap at 10% of the GDP the amount that can be spent on healthcare in Canada. So what that means is that there are more MRI machines in the city of Seattle than there are in all of Canada.
Yeah.
So you have a city in Seattle, which is a couple million people, versus 33 million people in Canada. So it's really a tragic situation, and people in Canada are incredibly sad about what we're doing to our healthcare system because...
They come here.
They come here.
To the border.
And they come here to get saved because of our healthcare system. So you're right when you say earlier that we've got to do something about our healthcare system because... I didn't have health care for 9 of the last 10 years.
Right.
I couldn't afford it.
Right.
I was a 22-year-old male, you know, in good health, 50 pounds
ish,
overweight, and I couldn't get health care that was affordable. But I made too much money to go on any kind of, you know,
would have sacked your credibility, too, as a libertarian.
I once paid a Cobra bill for 4 months that was $900 a month.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible, and it's only going to continue to get worse. Doctors are fleeing like crazy because what's happening is the costs are rising so much that you're now – I mean, Obama has taken the attitude and the administration has taken the attitude. Well, this is service. Why should you care about getting paid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I spent the last 8 years racking up $500,000 worth of debt.
Medical bills, yeah.
I need to pay my student loans – which are artificially inflated because you sponsor tuition.
P.S.
Federal government.
Fix the student loan
And now the
situation.
Interest rate's going to double.
Yeah.
They didn't get a deal worked out on that.
And so why would I spend my time and money becoming a doctor when I could go be a lawyer or...
Oh, I wouldn't do that either.
Or a writer, yeah. It's just as bad. I mean,
you're better off being a blogger.
So it's
but not a journalist.
No,
it's a really sad conundrum because, you know, you want the best for this little girl and you want her to be okay and you don't want rules and regulations. But we're going to get to a point, Gina, where we've got limited resources and, you know, why should she get the lung when there's somebody who doesn't have a disease that needs the lung because they were in a car accident?
That has a much longer life expectancy.
And so instead of...
Than a 10-year-old, though?
Oh, yeah, because it'd be a similar... It might be an 8-year-old with no condition, right?
Right.
And they just happened to be in a car wreck, lung got punctured, they should be at the top of the list.
And so we're now empowering the government to make that decision and the bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. to make that decision instead of a doctor and a family and a local hospital that has access to resources. I mean, it's a terrible situation. And what you end up with is... what happened with Michelle Obama, which is the next little bit, and I'm going to play the you may have heard about it. Greg and I had heard about it, but we hadn't watched the video, and something struck me when I watched the video. So here we're going to play the audio of the video for you now.
And I don't care what you believe in. We don't. One of the things that I don't do well is this.
I take too much, but I'm leaving. So you all decide.
No, I'm sure.
No.
I need your husband.
No. One choice.
No.
All
right,
you guys.
No.
No, please don't leave. No.
Well, this was Michelle Obama at a DNC fundraiser, and an LGBT activist started heckling her. Now, she made a comment, and Michelle Obama just kind of went off. So it wasn't a long, sustained heckling, and then she finally just said, hey, you know, stop that.
Or it didn't appear to be from the clip that we saw.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So she is essentially just... she gets, as far as what the video shows... I mean, we can only trust what we saw in the edited video. She gets mad and she says, I'm not going to do this with you. I'm not good at this sort of thing. I'm not going to be heckled. I'm leaving. And everybody gets upset and they're like, no, Mrs. Obama.
Michelle, stay. My bell.
Michelle, stay. We love you. And they, you know, they're like, no, don't leave. So she leaves and she walks off and she stops her speech. She just says, enough of this. So, what was the person heckling about? The person was heckling her. She wasn't really heckling her. She's an LGBT activist who wants Michelle Obama's husband to sign an executive order because it is illegal for companies to discriminate against LGBT couples if they take government funds. And she is connected to a company that does discriminate. And the law across the board is not being enforced because there's no enforcement agency. Because they pass so many laws that who the hell can enforce all these laws? And so she wants an executive order to force money to be flowed into enforcement. Okay. So she's on Michelle's side. But she needs to get to the president because this thing that is affecting her life, only the king can possibly fix this for her. So she does what she knows how to do. She goes to shout at the queen and hopefully she'll listen and fix her problem. It is the most courtly thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I just, my reaction upon hearing it was like, why have we created a system where you need a king and queen to fix your problems for you? Where you feel like the only way to solve a problem is to go. If you can only get an audience with Queen Michelle, that your problems will be fixed for you. I mean, maybe you didn't have that reaction, but I certainly did.
Oh, I kind of expected it. I mean, that's been the rumor about her since the initial campaign of the president. Is she's, one, always had a little bit of resentment that, you know, she was the more successful early in her career. She was the partner at the law firm where they met.
Right.
And then she had to kind of put things on back hold. But ever since she supported him and got married, I think she's always saw herself in the Hillary Clinton role long term. And so she comes off as this incredibly genial, nice, warm, engaging person. But yet... when she actually has to meet the common folk, she doesn't interact too well. Now, the person, though, is to blame, the activist, because if they had said that the like their vending machines didn't have Diet Coke, she'd have been all over it. You know, it's an obesity problem. It'd have gone straight to this desk.
I think it was kids active.
Yep,
I think it was kids active.
Poorly executed.
Yeah, I think it was a speech for that. But
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I don't know. I just watch it, and I just have visions of this woman trying to get to, like, Jesus in the crowd to touch the hem of his garment to solve all of her problems. And it just scares me that we're relying so much on the government.
Well,
and
if the bitch would have kissed the ring, that's all I'm saying.
I know.
We'd have never had this issue.
I don't know if I need to bleep that. So if you're listening on any of the talks, sorry about that. somebody said, hey, you missed Creighton dropped a couple a-holes, and then I forgot to edit out an F. And somebody was listening when the F got dropped last week, and they're like, I was in church, man.
Oh, yeah.
I had to turn it off because nobody heard it, but I felt bad because I heard the F word in church. Sorry
wow.
about that. We are libertarians. You can't control us.
You think dirty thoughts in the Lord's house?
Exactly.
You should read the story about Lot and his daughters.
Yeah.
Are you implying that the Bible is anything other than lily white and pure?
Maybe.
Bible's a good read. You should try it sometime, you two.
It is.
A couple of sinners.
There's a lot of begatting going on, that's all I'm saying.
One of these days
it'll be repackaged as a zombie tale. It'll be great.
You know what? Like the Jane Austen books? That's awesome. The Bible,
yep.
The zombie version.
Judas, Messiah killer.
Hezekiah, vampire hunter.
That's right.
All right, so let's...
We do have to touch a little bit, though, about Maryland case, don't you think? The DNA, just real quick.
Yeah. I was forgetting that. Justice Scalia and the DNA case.
Yeah, Spangle covered it earlier. Guy got arrested for brandishing a gun in front of a cop, and he had committed a rape earlier that was unsolved. And so Maryland has a law that allows them to, for the purposes of... The law actually says to help, like, cold cases, right? The one they don't have a lead on. But then when it got brought to the Supreme Court, the government of Maryland argued that it was purely for identification. And this is one area where Scalia has just incredible credentials for protecting the Fourth Amendment for illegal search and seizure. And what it happened was they take a swab of your face, and then they put you into a Maryland database that syncs up with the CODIS federal database of crimes, and they're able to identify people immediately. And if they could do it in their state, I think, if they would have just made the law, just it's purely for identification, like a fingerprint. But instead, it says it's to help solve crimes. And so, they convinced five of the justices, that's what they argued. And Scalia was like, absolutely not. He goes, because in this case, the guy wasn't even, they didn't swab him for 4 days. Or no, they swabbed him, but then didn't use it and put him into the database for 4 days. And they justified it by saying, we don't know how to set bail until we've identified him. But they'd already fingerprinted him. So it wasn't about setting bail.
He refused to show any ID. He refused to cooperate. And so that was part of, he was just, you know, he was annoying a police officer, which a law was just passed in New York City where you're not, in New York State, where you're no longer allowed to annoy police officers.
Yeah, that shit's out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Gina, beware. Yeah. Maya, you're going to be put on death row.
I'm a fan of most police officers. I have found most police officers to be very friendly with me, but you best believe I'm going to video record and annoy any of them that come at me with pepper spray.
It was so funny, though, because Scalia is just hated by the left. And so they came to, begrudgingly, every left news outlet was like, I guess he did a good thing. And he wrote the dissent.
Right.
And it was epic trolling. I mean, it was the first ever time someone has trolled the Supreme Court. He called them out right there. And then like right as he ended it, he spoke to the American people about how wrong it was.
Do we have this on the website?
We can tweet it out. We'll make sure that it's all on the Twitter feed. So anything that we've kind of referenced today and you want more info, we'll make sure to put it out on Twitter. That is at we are libertarians. So go and check that out. Or you can go to wearelibertarians.com and link there. So what do you think about the DNA case? I mean, I could see, you know, they're saying that it's ID. It's like fingerprinting.
Mm-hmm,
they're trying to build a database.
Yeah, I think it was Kennedy that wrote the majority's opinion, and that's what he said.
Right.
And then in Scalia's dissent, he's like, no, Nope, absolutely not.
No.
No, you're wrong, and here's why. And then just systematically took it apart.
Right.
It was, oh, it was heaven.
I mean, is
I love great writing, and it was the most brilliant legal writing, and then, like, also easily to digest and widely accessible.
It is kind of fun to read Supreme Court rulings.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's sort of, like, nerdy fun. So what do you guys think about the ruling? Gina, what is your opinion on it? Are you for it, against it? I mean, I could see how I could go back and forth, but I've come to...
Right. Ultimately, you got to protect your rights, but it's really awesome to get a rapist off the streets.
I know.
So, I mean, six of one, half dozen of another, man. My rights are my rights, and that's paramount. Is it awesome that we know who raped somebody and we can take him off the streets? Yeah. Does it suck that the Supreme Court had to uphold that particular law in order to keep that case?
Right.
Absolutely.
What it does is, if you're not, it's just if you're arrested, not even convicted.
Yeah, that's
now
the
they can put
that
you
I
in a federal database.
Because now what's happened is, because he lost his rights, we've all lost ours.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the problem that I have with it, is that you do not have to be convicted. You could be falsely arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You can be harassed by a police officer, pulled over, have your DNA swabbed. I mean, if it's to that point where we're pointing out the flaws of the system, you know, it could even be altered. Like,
my problem is that
when
you're pulled over and you're suspected of a crime, he was suspected or arrested for brandishing a weapon. That was the crime that he was arrested on. That was why they had probable cause. If you have probable cause to think that he was a rapist, then, yeah, you take his DNA to investigate. But he had given no signal of that. He had... committed a crime. If he had been convicted of that crime, then I wouldn't have a problem with it, because then when you are convicted of a crime, you're found guilty, you've lost your rights, and
in most states it's a felony where they begin taking DNA.
Right.
Yeah, so, their interpretation of the law is very vague on purpose.
Yeah.
They had no probable cause to suspect that he had committed a rape 15 years earlier, and so they violated his rights by taking the DNA. I mean, that is my opinion, and I'm not happy about it. I don't have to like it, but sometimes the world isn't pretty, and it all can't be wrapped up in a neat bow, because now what you're going to have is a future crimes database.
Yep.
Again, it's the same principles as the NSA.
Because right now, 28, I believe it's either 28 or 22 states have this law, but the rest don't. And so that's what was Scalia's worry, is now the precedent's there, everyone's going to adopt one, and you're all going to be linked and cross-referenced against a federal database.
Again, it may be a little bit of a stupid dystopian thing, but, you know, what if a mayor really, he gets a bugaboo for gum on the streets? You know, everybody gives their DNA, now you're all going to jail for, you know.
Well, isn't there a law somewhere in southern Indiana about gum or popsicle?
You're not allowed, in Indianapolis, it is illegal to spit on the ground.
No way.
Yeah. In Indianapolis, you cannot spit on the ground. You can also not put a for sale sign in your car and park it in your front lot. If you want to sell a car in Indianapolis, you have to sell it on a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's from a law from the 50s.
That is useful.
Yeah.
I could create some violators just for fun.
Right, but say somebody truly did want to go after someone for spitting on the street and just walked around and swabbed DNA, loaded it all into CODIS.
You'd
have a lot of time on your hands, but it shouldn't be possible.
So it feels like the majority of the time when we have these episodes, we're talking, it's not even like we're talking about financial issues or economic issues anymore. It's Fourth Amendment issues.
It's basics.
From everything from...
But it's a combination of those. It's the Fourth Amendment issues and the financial burden that we are taking on in order to spy on ourselves. And
how many billions is it for the Utah...
$2 billion a year.
$2 billion a year, and that's one center. That's not even operational yet, is it?
Yeah, no, that's just the equipment, right?
Yep.
Right.
No, that's going to be its operating budget, annual operating budget.
I mean, an estimate of...
The costs are way more than that.
An annual operating budget... If they're estimating what the annual operating budget is, I'm sure it'll stay at $2 billion.
Oh, I bet it's...
Because government estimates are always right. Am I right? High five.
Yeah.
High five.
Medicare only missed by like 1,000%.
We promise. I think we did pretty good this week. I think we did better than last week. We gave a lot of facts and information, and we saved the bull crap for the end.
Very much so.
I would say we did better than last week. We fulfilled our promise. Still wasn't good.
Hey.
It still was not good at all, but
Better than that.
It was better than last week. So next week, we promise to do even
better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell. This podcast is produced by What Is a Hoosier Productions.
As the government, you want to access the Google? I've got the Google information. Let me give you the Google.